What a gum tree is? It's a eucalyptus tree. That's what we call a eucalyptus tree. But I have a sound of a kookaburra for those who haven't heard it. Okay. Okay, what did you do here? Okay, try again. There we go. It really does laugh. Okay, let's take our Bible, shall we, and turn to Judges chapter 13. I'm going to ask a question, but I'm being a little bit tricky with this question. I'm leaving one key central word out. Okay, and the question is this: who first flew nonstop across the Atlantic? Most people would say Charles Lindbergh, right? No. He was the first person to fly solo across the Atlantic. The first people who did it was two men in 1919, not in 1927, by the name of John Alcock and Arthur Brown, and they flew a Vickers Vimy airplane into Ireland. By leaving one word out, I left out a crucial part of the question, didn't I? I want to look this morning at a mother and her son. Yeah, I know that I'm a missionary, but this is also Mother's Day. And her mother and her son, and there was something mom left out. It's not mom, it's mom. Mom left out that left her son clueless. And I don't think he really caught on what God's full purpose was for his life. Now, he wasn't off the hook. But first of all, before we get into that, look at Judges 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, if some of you who are good at maths, 40 years ago from 2016 is what? 1996? 76? Yeah, 1976. Okay, I did figure that out. Yeah. Now, you stop to think of that. 40 years being under the under the thumb of the Philistines. And to think about that, did they like it? You know what? They learned to live with it. How do I know? Go over to chapter 15, verse 11. Well, in the process of time, we're looking at Samson. Samson wanted to marry a girl, and he made a riddle, and they figured it out by forcing, getting her to tell. He got angry and just never bothered to complete the wedding. Later, his anger cooled down. He went down to say, well, I'm ready to take my wife. Oh, you want her, said Dad? I gave her to your best man because I didn't think you wanted her. Well, he then got some foxes and burnt their fields. They didn't like it too well. Anyway, then they went and burnt the girl and the dad. Then Samson proceeded to kill a bunch of them. And then he went up to a cave and waited, and then the Philistines weren't too happy with Samson about this time. He'd killed 30 people down in to get their coats, to give for a payment for the guessing the riddle. And verse 11, the Philistines come up and pitched in Judah, verse 9, and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why art thou come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to them as he has done to us." And then 3,000 of them go, and verse 11, let me read this again. And 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said, "As they have done unto me, so have I done unto them." What are they saying? Hey, the Philistines are ruling. Cool it. What are you rocking the boat for? They weren't even looking for deliverance. They had accepted it. You could say, "I didn't know we needed help. What's the big deal?" In some ways, the Philistines provided protection. Oh, and the Philistines had this worship of Dagon, which involved an immoral worship. And they probably enjoyed it because it says the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They had turned from God to serve Baal, which involved immoral worship. And, so they say, "Samson, cool it. What do you think you're doing?" They didn't even care. And so think about this. What about believers? Are we like them? You know, as I read through these old stories, I look at them and you say, you know, those people had flesh and blood. You cut their if they cut their finger, they bled too. They cried, they laughed. Yeah, they didn't speak English. But they had emotions like you and me. And some of them got attracted to Baal as a nation instead of worshiping God. You know what? Many believers today are trying to live the best of both worlds. Because what they would do is they would combine very often the worship of Baal and God. Say, "We're worshiping God." Sometimes you say, "Well, if you come to Jesus, you can overcome your personal problems, reach your goals in life, succeed in business, in marriage, in life." Oh, yeah, and there's this bonus thing called heaven. So sign up with Jesus and you'll have success. But which is more important? You know, I've noticed when you get on an airplane to go to Australia, it takes a while. See, it was 14 hours, wasn't it, to go from Melbourne to Los Angeles nonstop. And then you've got the rest of the country wherever you're going. If you're going to a country to live, but you stop to spend a night in another country to get there, what country are you going to spend the most time thinking about and studying? Their culture, their language, if they speak differently? The one night or the place where you're going to live? What is this earth? What is this world? We're just passing through. They had put so much thing on the present, they forgot about living a holy life for God. And then, so they said, "I didn't know we needed help." And then my second point is this: we weren't paying attention. Where am I coming with that? Look with me back here in chapter 13. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife Baran and Baranot. Now as I look at that, Zorah of the Danites. Where was Zorah? Who were the Danites? That was a tribe. And I find something interesting about the tribe of Dan. You look back in Judges chapter 1, God had given them a plot of ground. We read this in Joshua, a place in Israel. Part of that included the valley. And guess what? The Amorites wouldn't let him come down. In other words, you could say for gaining the land, they flunked. And then some of them got tired of just not getting anywhere, so they went up north and picked a spot way up north. Hence you get from Dan to Beersheba. And as I think about tribe of Dan, they hadn't had much success in ridding their plot of land of the Canaanites, like God had told them to do. And not only that, Timnath was about 4 miles and a quarter away, walking about an hour to an hour and a half, depending how fast you walk. They lived right next to the Philistines. Who should have been upset with being under the power of the Philistines? Who should have been upset with the immorality and the ungodliness of the Philistines? The people who were dedicated to God should have been upset. But instead, don't rock the boat. I don't care that the rulers, they didn't even know they needed it. But God comes, an angel of the Lord, which I believe is God, verse 3, appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, and thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now in their culture, not being able to have a baby was a tragedy. It was a horrible affliction to have. And she must have cried a lot of tears. So one day she's in the field, it's Sunday, this man, and we're described later with shining like the sun, appears to her. And she didn't know who or what this man was, but he says, you are going to have a son. And now, says something here I find fascinating. He says, behold, see, verse 4, now therefore beware, I pray thee. He's not saying pretty please with cherry on top. He's saying, attention. Pay attention. Listen closely what I'm telling you. The angel Lord just said, you haven't had a baby. Yes, I know. And I wish I'd had one. Well, you're going to have one. You're going to have a boy. And there's some things. He's going to be a Nazarite. Don't have anything from the vine. No grapes, no juice, no vine leaves. Yeah, you can eat them. And nothing from the vine. Don't touch anything unclean. Don't eat anything unclean. And don't cut his hair. Samson was never, ever supposed to have a haircut. Why? He's a Nazarite. Well, what's a Nazarite? We can go back to number 6. I won't turn there. But in number 6, this is somebody who is dedicated or consecrated to God. And I find that fascinating. Here is Samson right next to the Philistines. The Jewish people are supposed to be consecrated to whom? To God. They're supposed to be holy, completely set apart to God. What do we mean by being holy? I was thinking of this as an illustration. Holiness means set apart for God completely. There's a particular house in Washington that we call the White House. It is set apart for somebody who has a particular office. We are set apart completely holy for God. And he says Samson is going to be holy, completely set apart for God. No wine, no strong drink, nothing unclean, and don't cut the hair. The hair was the symbol that was dedicated to God. And when a man, if he took for a period of time, let his hair grow, at the end of it, he would shave his head, meaning the vow is over. But Samson, it was supposed to be a whole lifetime. Okay? So can you imagine what it must have been like growing up? Mom, why do I have to wear my hair like this in 7 braids and never get it cut? You're a Nazarite. You're dedicated to God. Samson, don't touch anything unclean. Yes, Mom, I know. You've told me a million times. I know. Samson, don't go over there. That's where they serve all that wine and stuff. You're not supposed to touch it. Don't go close. Yeah, I know. I've been lectured many a time. I know. Dad, Samson, don't cut your hair. You heard what I said? And keep it in those seven braids type things. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be Nazarite, and I'm a visible sign of consecrated to God. I don't know if that's how he felt, but I think he did. Because he got interested in a girl going down to in Timnath, 4 1/4 miles away. And on the way down, a lion roared at him. So the Spirit of God came upon him, and he tore the lion apart, killed it. Later, he got curious. He was going by it again, going down to, again, related to this coming marriage. And he goes out of the way to see what happened to the lion. And as he gets close, he hears bzzz. It had dried out in the summer heat. And bees had taken residence. And where there's bees, there's honey. And he grabbed some honey from a dead carcass. Is a dead carcass clean? He took some, ate it, gave to his parents, but the text tells us he didn't tell Mom and Dad. He didn't want another lecture. He had learned how to do things and not get a lecture. He was supposed to be dedicated to God, but he liked to fudge the rules because he had this sweet tooth for things that he wasn't supposed to do. And, well, as we look at the story, she gets so excited. I'm going to have a baby. She hightails it over to her husband. And the woman told her husband, verse 6, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And they asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. And he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat anything unclean, for thy child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb to the day of his death. And that's where she stops. But that isn't where the angel stopped. The angel added something that Mom didn't tell Dad. The angel had said, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, Dad is thinking, he must have been one of these logical blokes. He's a Nazarite. Well, why? What's he going to do? Just be a Nazarite? There's got to be some purpose for it. So he prays to God and asks, you know, verse 8, he asks to see him, and teach us what we shall do unto the child, and that shall be born. I'm getting close out of time, so I'll just paraphrase the passage. Read the passage on your own. Basically, he says to the angel, he says, you know, I want what you say to happen, but what's he supposed to do? You know what the angel basically said? All that I told the woman, she better be careful. Then he lists what the woman had told the husband. He did not add, God said it once, and begin to deliver from the Philistines. You know what that tells me? The being delivered from the Philistines was real low on her priority. She missed it. And she missed it telling her husband, and he didn't have a clue. So Samson grows up, suddenly finds out he's got this wonderful, fantastic strength. And whenever he has something to do with the Philistines, there's always sparks. Always get something happens. And he's supposed to be fully dedicated to God. But if you were going, that's another sermon, but he had a problem with three women. And the last one destroyed him. Her name was Delilah. You know what I think? Samson grew up clueless because Mom forgot the one key purpose God had in his life, the goal. And think of it, Samson was the only one of all the judges who had strength like this. His birth was announced. He's in the classic category of John the Baptist. You would expect great things from a man like this. Tremendous potential. God gave him the strength. God worked things out so that he still accomplished his strength. But he didn't have a clue. But you know what? God was gracious with him. God began to work circumstances. First, he gets interested in this girl down in Timnath. And we read here that this was of the Lord. The parent says, what are you doing to an uncircumcised Philistine? She's not a believer. He says, I want her. In my eyes, she's the right one. And that's what counts. This is from the God, from the Lord. What it is, God was allowing Samson to go this way because God knew if you take Samson the Philistines, there's going to be sparks. If you take a match and put it and strike it, what do you get? Fire. Well, he knew that would happen with Samson. And so that happened over and over again. God answered prayers when he asked. But he looked at his strength and the victory over the Philistines, even in his dying prayer. He's in the temple of Dagon. His eyes have been blinded. And he says, Lord, give me strength one more time so that I can be avenged of my eyes. Where is it, Lord, that I may deliver my people from the Philistines? While he never looked at the circumstances in his life to say, Lord, is there something about me and the Philistines that you want me to do? What is it you want? He never asked. Do you really believe Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? If we know the Lord, everything, the way we're made, the abilities that we have, God has a plan for every believer. Moms and dads. Look, it's Mother's Day, moms. I'll pick on you for a moment. But the rest of you can listen in. And kids. Are we encouraging our children to follow God's will in the way that God has made them, in the plan God has for their life? Samson was clueless. He wasn't off the hook. He should have questioned. But mom missed it. And I think he grew up just knowing he was supposed to be holy. That should have been enough for him to realize, oh, the Philistines don't serve God. We should. And we're in because they're controlling us. But God, he'd heard the stories that they were supposed to be the top ones, not under the thumb. They were supposed to get rid of the Philistines, God and the others. He was a Nazarite dedicated to God. Are you a believer in Christ? You too are to be consecrated and dedicated to God. As the Lord said, be ye holy for I am holy. Are our lives holy? Samson was a man of faith, and he did accomplish in the end what God wanted, but you know he paid a high price because he didn't focus on what God wanted him to do. He just liked the sweet things of the world and got distracted. I hope you're clued in what God wants you to do. Being a mother, the hand that rocks the cradle, how does the rest of it go? Samson could have been guided by mom. Are we allowing God to work through our mothers for those who are children? And don't say, oh, mom, oh, dad, when they talk about things of God. Because the way ahead to avoid doing God's will for your life is a way of sadness, tragedy, and heartache. Look at Samson. He wound up a miserable wretch with his eyes being gouged out, humiliated because he wasn't consecrated to God like he should have been. It was just a show. Let's serve God with all we have. Let's make that promise to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank thee for your love and grace. And Lord, we thank you for the stories you've given us of old and what they teach us. We see Samson, a man of faith, and I didn't have time to go into that, but a man of faith, and you did honor his faith. But yet he could have had been so much more effective had he been consecrated and known his life work and focused on it. Help us, Lord, to do your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.